We are going to begin tonight. There are nine of you, and we are going to begin the competition with Lauren Furnish, who is an English major from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Lauren.
When I set foot on the Lewis and Clark campus for the first time, I was captivated by the immense, thick-trunked trees swaying over a cobblestone drive that led to a shale-roofed brick mansion. I immediately felt that I belonged here. I choose to believe that this incontrovertible feeling was born more of an intuitive grasp of the spirit of the school rather than a strong but misplaced love of trees. As I followed the tour guide around campus, I thought to myself, people study here, not believing that anyone would do anything other than wander blissfully between the trees or lie on the grass in the sun. Despite that, I found myself imagining eating in the cafeteria, wondering what mailbox might be mine, and picturing myself writing a paper late at night in the library. Suddenly, my reverie was interrupted by a galloping herd of naked people. Yes, it was on that fateful day that I had my first encounter with the naked mile. One gentleman even so kindly lapped our group and leapt into the air in an impressive double toe touch. So, my father asked, are you sure that you want to come to school here? Filled with the special kind of embarrassment that can occur only when you witness a large number of naked people in the presence of a parent, I nodded and said yes. All right, he said after a moment. Just don't tell Grandma about the streakers. I have faithfully kept that promise until today. Sorry, Grandma. Though many of you were attracted to this gorgeous campus or the idea that you too could run naked through this verdant beauty, we stayed here because we found an interest, a professor, a group of friends, or a field of study that connected us to the community of vibrant individuals housed here. The beauty of this campus serves a broader purpose than attracting prospective students. The vegetation, the meandering pathways, and intricate stonework shake us from our introspection and ground us in the physical world. By meticulously noting the details in the world, how strong or faint the light is today, the angle that it falls through the leaves, the temperature of the air, we are exercising our faculties for wonder and heightening our powers of observation. We already have a rich interior life, and by learning to actively pay attention, we will be able to navigate through almost all circumstances, both internal and external, with good humor and grace. As an avid people watcher, I've always appreciated paying attention to the world around me. But I didn't know how much I needed that ability until my study abroad trip in Valparaiso, Chile. When my host family first picked me up, I was convinced that I had learned nothing during my previous years of studying Spanish. Effectively, I understood nada. As anyone who has visited or studied in a foreign country can attest, it is one matter to understand a language and another to speak it with the locals. My family crammed my suitcases into their tiny car and drove through the city, pointing out buildings and streets at a high verbal velocity. As we drove up the coast, a sunset blossomed over the ocean. Looking me in the eyes and gesturing emphatically, my host mother explained, aquí, acá, allá. Again, she repeated, aquí, acá, allá, along with three other words. Then, as my confusion and panic waned, I realized that I knew the three words she kept repeating. She was explaining the three orders, the three closest cities and their order along the coast. That small, successful communication was the first of many small personal victories. My ability to take note of and interpret the physical environment and the people in it was not only helpful, but essential. I believe this is true for any venture we undertake. Much of what we do in our classes, in our papers, and in our research is learn how to pay attention, close, detailed attention. Our professors certainly pay close attention. Really, who looks at the bibliography of a research paper and notices that we underlined a source when we should have italicized? While we may have been impressed or unnerved by our professor's knowledge of correct citation formats, we have been blessed to live and study in an environment that has supported us and provided us with the opportunities we otherwise would not have had access to. This does not mean that our time here was perfect. We probably had personal problems that affected our academic lives, differences of opinions with professors or the administration, or perhaps different expectations of what our college experience should be. That's okay. We have been provided the opportunity to mature into vibrant, active, and unique individuals in a community that values our quirks. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of the professors for their dedication to improving our minds. Despite my deep respect for their scholarship, I am going to have to beg the forgiveness of the English department and include a reference from my own generation. I am going to quote a piece of advice from XKCD, an online webcomic. In the miniseries entitled Choices, a character is offered the following piece of advice. You are smart and curious and bored, and all you see is the choice between working hard and slacking off. You are going to miss so many adventures because you're waiting to think of a plan. To find them, look for tiny, interesting choices. And remember that you are always making up the future as you go. This piece of advice says, look for those tiny, interesting choices. This is where our ability to be present in the world comes in. We have been trained to examine intellectual quandaries closely and carefully in our classrooms and to admire and note the details of our physical surroundings on a beautiful campus. If we are able to accurately grasp the reality of our situation, if we are bored or unhappy or dissatisfied, we gain the ability to recognize those tiny, interesting choices when they appear, and we possess the courage to pursue them. We probably won't live on a rolling estate with its own rose garden immediately after college, but we won't need to, because we have learned how to be present in whatever situation we find ourselves. Whether we are traveling, working, or offering assistance and aid at home or abroad. By being present, we refuse to be passive, discouraged people. By being active and engaged, we will become our own oases of sanity, wit, and serenity. I believe that through these tiny, small choices, with depth of analysis and attention to detail, we will find where and how we can make changes to the world around us and do so with good humor and grace. Congratulations, class of 2010.